What's going on, guys? It's your boy, Big Baby Steve. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Philly Talks, guys. Today, we're doing a review on Spider-Man. I had done a review earlier last week, but I felt like I was ranting too much. I felt like I went too many places, if you know what I mean. Like, I was ranting, and I just tried to cover too much, and I feel like I didn't get too much of my point across. So I was like, you know what? I finished it, and I said, you know what? I'm not going to post it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to do another one, but this time I'm going to do it with Kat, because Kat was with me watching the Spider-Man No Way Home, and I think she was more excited watching it than I was. So I said, you know what? We'll just do one together. So on this episode, you're listening to us do the movie review together as we're heading out to go grab some food with our friends. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Thank you again for playing the play button and downloading the episode. I truly, truly appreciate it. It means a lot. But yeah, I'm not gonna go into a ranting stage at this point, like I did in the first review that I did. I might put that one up, maybe not. I'm not sure. But right now, I'm just putting the one with me and Kat. So I'm not gonna rant. I'm just gonna go right into it. Everyone, stay safe. The one thing I will say before I do, and this intro is, so I realized that while we were heading to get food and we got to the place to get food at, we kind of ended a little early and we forgot to give our ratings on it. So I'm gonna give my rating. I think I know Kat's rating as well. We both gave it, I gave it a 9.5. Kat gave it a 10 out of 10. So, but yeah, we're gonna go straight into the ratings. These do have spoilers, I believe. So if you haven't watched the movie, stop now, go watch the movie, then come back. All right, let's get it. All right, guys, thanks for tuning in. So basically, I had recorded this review for the Spider-Man movie probably earlier this week before Christmas. But I said, you know what? I wanted to do it with Kat because she was more excited than I was during the whole movie. So I was like, you know what? I want to get her perspective as well. Also, I feel like I was just ranting on the first one. So I was like, you know what? I think we could do better. So that's why now it's going to be me and Kat. We're going to do it. The other one, maybe I'll release it at some point, but I doubt it. Probably just stay in the rough drafts. But, so right out the gate, this may have some spoilers in it. So if you haven't watched the movie, stop the podcast. Go watch the movie. Then come back so you can understand what we're talking about. Because if you don't, you're just going to get spoiled and you're not going to know what we're talking about. And it's just going to ruin the movie for you. So, but straight into it, I'm going to go ask Kat the first question. I'm going to ask you right out the gate. The first 15 minutes of movie, how did you like it?
It was good. I liked like how fast it was. Like, I was about to say they're not gonna understand what it was, but like just like the panic and the worry in Spider-Man or Peter Parker, like really got me, like in the beginning. Like it already caught my attention, like in the first like seconds of the movie.
Yeah, I like that they did the picking up where the last movie ended off. Rather than just being like, oh, 2 weeks later or a month later. I like how they just picked it up from right there. And I like that it was completely different from the last movie, because the last movie, Spider-Man was beloved. And Peter Parker was also beloved, but for two different reasons. Peter Parker was beloved because of the young man he was becoming. And Spider-Man was being beloved because he was like helping people and stuff like that. And now to see both those characters now going to people hating them, chasing them around,
trying to kill
them. Yeah, like completely upset with them. Now he's the villain. They're throwing bricks through his home and whatever. Like how the narrative flipped so quickly. I was like, okay, this is something different. I can see what they were going for, and I definitely liked it. I definitely liked it. And I like that they had MJ. Like I like it. Her first time like being swung around with Spider-Man was her trying to escape a mob of people who are trying to get at her and ask her a whole bunch of questions. And that's her first experience. Even though it should have been a great experience, it was probably one of the, you know, not the greatest. But it was funny, though.
But him forgetting she's not, one, not used to it, and two, she's not him. Like, he dropped her off on the skinniest, like, little bar in the seat, like, in the...
on the bridge.
Yeah, and then she's just like, Peter? And then he's, like, confused, and he's just walking normal, and she's just barely getting her balance. And he's like, oh, okay. Like, it's just that funniness, like, that, like, careless. Like, he's like, I'm gonna just put you right here. You're fine. Like, no.
Right. And then I think also within the first 15 minutes as well, we see that throughout the other two movies, being associated with Spider-Man and with Peter Parker was a good thing. Now it was showing that being associated with him was a bad thing. So now MJ and Ned are being, there, no schools are taking them. Including Peter, then none of them are taking them. Then none of them are interviewing them.
His aunt,
I think her nonprofit wasn't doing too well because a big portion of the nonprofit was that Spider-Man was like their mascot. So,
trying to discredit her because they're like, oh, you're her his guardian. So what were you like? Why are you encouraging him to be a vigilante? And she's like, huh? Like,
right. So. I definitely, again, I love the narrative. I love the first 15 minutes of, like, hey, this is the complete opposite of what you thought you were about to see. So, I definitely enjoy that. So, after seeing the first 15 minutes, what was your favorite villain that popped up in the movie?
Because every time... All of them.
And for people who, I know you guys aren't going to know, but I'm going to let you know. So while I was in the movies with Kat, every time a villain was about to pop up, she'd get so excited.
And whisper their name.
And she'd be like, this is Sandman. Oh, this is Electro. I was like, oh, what? Oh, this is Doc Ock. Doc Green Goblin. I was like, oh, man. Like, she was so giddy. I was like, oh, my goodness. And just on a side note, before you even answer, how did you feel that... Because we were supposed to watch opening weekend, but we didn't get to watch it opening weekend, so we had to watch it Tuesday night. How did you feel being in that audience that, I guess they were like casual fans? Yeah. They weren't like the hardcore fans that you would normally get.
It was kind of also people like, oh, people are talking about the Spider-Man movie, let me go see it. Because I even heard people like, I don't get it, like they were so lost.
Right.
I was upset. Mind you, part of it was my fault because I was in California. But... I didn't enjoy it because I had to literally go from, like, stopping myself from, like, having the actual reaction to, like secretly, you know, like, whispering to you and squeezing your arm because I was excited because everybody was silent.
Yeah, it seemed like they wasn't the hardcore fans that you would find on opening weekend, you know. I was, you know, talking about the villains and everything. When Green Goblin makes his return to the movies, to the on-screen... A lot of people would think that him showing up on the board, the hoverboard, they would think that would be the biggest scene. But I'm pretty sure in the hardcore fans' eyes, it wasn't that. It was the little bomb he threw, the little ting, ting, ting. I think that's iconic in so many ways. I think that's what would have made everyone go like, oh, snap, it's Green Goblin, you know. But it wasn't, we didn't have that moment in the movie theater because... Again, it was just casual fans. Some people never watched Spider-Man. Some people only watched the Tom Holland one, the last two. So, and they only know the Avengers Spider-Man, which is Tom Holland. So, Green Goblin never really has been in the Tom Holland movies. He was inside of Tobey Maguire movies, the first Spider-Man. So, I can see why people are like, I don't know. Oh, Green Goblin, that's cool. Like no, this is epic because he was supposed to be dead, but now he's back. But yeah. So to ask you again for the answer, do you have a favorite villain or is it all of them? Or was there one that you were just really excited to see?
See, this is my dilemma. I like the each Spider, like, individually. I don't put them together, so, like, I don't have... a favorite Spider-Man because it all brought a different taste to their perception of what Spider-Man is. But I can tell you, I was really, really glad to see the original Green Goblin and how he perfected being Green Goblin, and then I was also excited to see all of them, but also Sandman, because of like how like he was trying to, like, he didn't want to hurt people in the end.
Yeah.
So like to see him, like the redemption, try to see like if he was gonna be good or bad.
Yeah.
So the other two, they're cool too, but I was just like, not as much as those two.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed Green Goblin inside this one. The first Green Goblin from the Tobey Maguire, he was cool. You know, it was nothing really crazy about him. Nothing special. Just like, oh, I'm just evil. I'm being the villain.
Yeah.
But I think that because it's been so long and we've had villains like Magneto from the first X-Men, who kind of perfected that villain type where he's like, I don't think I'm a villain. You only portray me as a villain because I'm trying to do the right thing for my people type thing. And the Joker from Dark Knight, another great villain. I put those two always like rest in peace, but I put those two on my top three. And Thanos, I love Thanos as well.
Yeah.
All because they didn't feel like they were bad guys. Like they weren't trying to convince you I'm a good guy. They're like, I'm a good guy, you just don't see it, you know. And I always believe that the best villains are the ones that feel like they're misunderstood. You know what I mean? Like they really think they're doing good and have a purpose for everything, and then being told, oh no, you're wrong. They're like, no, you're wrong. And it's always good to have those good point of views. Like I love when Green Goblin, the voice just started to take back over, and while they're in the apartment, and Electro is about to take all his powers away, so he can, you know, not have all that AI system electricity, like the feeling to have all that electricity into his body. And then Green Goblin pops up and goes, why should we give this up? And he's kind of trying to convince Electro not to give it up, because he says, like, hey, we're gods. You know, we shouldn't have to give it up.
It's their fault that they're weak and we're strong.
Exactly. Exactly. He rather than saying that it was a bad thing, he called it mostly a gift. Like, hey, we have a gift. Why should we give up our gifts? We're gods. We don't give up anything. We just take.
Mm-hmm.
And him getting into Electro's mind and Electro pulling off the absorber of, you know, I guess the electricity. I love that scene because it let me know that they really put the work into the script for the Green Goblin. He wasn't no longer just, I'm a bad guy because I do things bad. He's like, there's a reason I'm doing what I'm doing.
But not even that. Always for me, I don't know if it's because I'm a psych major. I just like the psychology behind the movie, like the entire movie. But specifically on Green Goblin, because in the first one, they never really emphasized that second part, like his second personality, his disorder. So in the first one, it was just like, oh, I'm obsessed with killing Spider-Man. It's Spider-Man's fault. That's all it was the obsession with Spider-Man. In this one, it was just like, oh, Green Goblin's coming out.
What are you doing? Why are you living?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
He's letting everybody go.
Oh, come on. Oh, you're dumbass up.
Sorry,
guys. We're driving. We're driving to go get some food real quick. So people don't know how to drive. So, but continue.
So I like this one because, like, when he felt like he couldn't control his other side, his other personality, it was very interesting to see how he could still manipulate other people and try to convince them. Like when he tricked Aunt May and Peter, like that whole time was a whole act, and he got me, like, so I was just like, oh my god, like,
well, was it an act? I thought they were really trying to show the two different personalities.
No, but that's what I'm saying, because of, like, at least my perspective of it as a psych major, he did a good job, because the other side, which is Green Goblin, because he's not Green Goblin, he's mm-hmm. Professor, what's his actual name? Professor Osborn?
Yeah,
Professor Osborn. He was, that whole time, he was still controlling him. So, like, when he was just like, oh, did you really think I was going to allow that? Like, he, like, it was still part of controlling, because he made Professor Osborn believe that he was gone, but he was still there the whole time. That's why he was saying the whole conversation.
Oh, okay.
So, like, technically, like, when it's, like, another personality, like, they have full control. The other personality doesn't hear anything. So that's why he's like, oh, did you really believe I was going to let you, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm not going to say all of it. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, damn, like, that was good. Because, like, he, like, Professor Osborne actually thought, like, he was free. Like, he's getting help.
Right.
And he wasn't. The whole time, his other side was plotting. So that's why I was like, that was really cool how they did it.
Yeah. For a fact. And I definitely enjoyed Electro. Jamie Foxx, I think he killed it inside this movie as well. It's sad that they didn't give him the electricity mask. But it showed it a couple times. There was a couple of glimpses where he would pulsate with electricity and the mask of Electro would come around. It was kind of cool. But other than that, those are the two that I really enjoyed, was Jamie Foxx's Electro and the Green Goblin. So fast forwarding into the movie, how did you feel when Aunt May died?
Chill. That broke. I was broken.
So when the movie happened, I was like, oh no, like, you know, Aunt May's, you know, I knew once she got hit by the Green Goblin's hoverboard and then blown up, I was like, there's no way she can survive that. Spider-Man can survive that because he still has some healing qualities to his ability, but Aunt May doesn't. So when she was dying, I was like, damn. But I didn't realize that this Spider-Man, Tom Holland Spider-Man, the one from Avengers, didn't have an Uncle Ben that died. So the way he became Spider-Man, so the way the first two Spider-Mans became Spider-Man is because of Uncle Ben dying and they wanted to save the world. In this universe, in this multi-universe, Tony Stark comes around and sees a kid that's good at, you know, science and building things and goes, hey, we want you to come become Spider-Man. You know, Tom Holland became Spider-Man just to help people. Mm-hmm. He had no one who
like
died.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see Aunt May die because now it came all into full effect because now Aunt May was his version of Big Ben because this Aunt May wasn't married. She was just single with no kids. And it really bring the multi-universe together. Like, oh, I understand now. Those two different universes had an Uncle Ben with an Aunt May. This universe is an Uncle Ben that didn't meet an Aunt May, but still got Peter.
But not even that. He had an Aunt May who support, like, he didn't have to hide it.
Yeah.
Like, he had her full support. And, you know, like, he said, oh, I have, like, my fan, like, which she's, like, his entire family. She loves me, supports me, like, I'm taking care of her, she's covering for me, to then losing all of that.
Yeah.
Which the other ones was, like, their work that hurt was their passion, and his was, like, the support was his, like drive to be Spider-Man.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. I could see that. And I was definitely glad to see that go, like, I was happy to see it. I think Tom Holland does great in those scenes. I was telling you earlier, like, or the last time we were talking about it, I hope he doesn't do too many more scenes because he's really good at that, breaking down, crying, making you feel emotional and sympathy. Like, he's really good at that, but he's done it he's done it like two or three times while being Spider-Man in this universe. That if he goes to another genre of movie as a different character and he tries to do it, I don't think it would work out for him as much. It would hurt
that scene.
It would hurt the scene that he's already made where he's broken down and made people feel like when he's dying in Tony Stark's hands. Because Thanos snapped the fingers. That's a great scene. And then this Aunt May scene, also a great scene. I think he's, you know, I'm pretty sure he's going to have other scenes in different movies as a different character that he's going to have to do that in. But I think if he can just stay away from that, I think those scenes will go down as classics in the future. My opinion. I really do think so. Also, what was the next question I was going to ask?
I should have brought tissues. That's what I
should have brought. Yeah, Kat. Oh, how did you like the way that the two Spider-Mans were introduced? Because the reason I asked is because I love the way that how the movie took you on a roller coaster. 1 minute you're sad, you're depressed. Laughing. No, you're sad and you're depressed. And to the scene where, you know, the two different Spider-Mans get introduced to the universe, and it's a funny scene, like a really great scene, and it just takes you on that roller coaster. Like, I'm sad, now I'm laughing, happy, joking around. To then go back and find the original Tom Holland, like Peter, crying on the roof and taking you back down into that sorrow place. Like, I love the way they transitioned the movie. It was just a great roller coaster of emotions, for a fact. How did you like when they brought that scene up? Did you think they put that scene in the correct spot? Or would you rather have seen it some earlier or later in the movie?
No, they did it in a good spot.
Yeah.
Because of how hurt he was.
For a fact. And we're almost at the spot, so we're going to wrap this up real quick, guys. So, last things last, the ending of the movie. How did you like it?
Loved it.
So, again, if you haven't watched it, spoiler, the way this all goes down is Doctor Strange makes everyone forget about Spider-Man.
And Peter Parker.
Well, I think it's just Peter Parker, right?
Yeah.
Just Peter Parker, because not Spider-Man.
They don't know Peter Parker exists. Nobody does.
Exactly. And I understood the scene where he goes to, and he says to MJ and Ned, like, I'm going to find you guys. Don't worry. I'll make you guys remember. And all that good stuff. And then when he gets to the cafe to get MJ to remember, he's about to tell her that, I know you don't remember me, but this is this and that. And then MJ flips her hair back. Mm-hmm. And he sees the bandage. And this is where I love the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin earlier in the movie said, wherever there's a Peter Parker or a Spider-Man, there's going to be death and destruction and hurt. So once MJ flipped her hair, because everything was real. Mm-hmm. So they just don't remember how they got hurt. They just remember they got hurt. So MJ, when he sees that Band-Aid, Peter Parker's like, oh, should I, she's got into MIT, her and Ned. Mm-hmm. Should I make her remember? And he decides not to. I totally understood that, because not just as men, but mostly as men, when you're trying to protect the ones that you love, that ultimate sacrifice of, like, you are better off without me mentality is hard to come about. And it shows Peter going from a young adult to a man, basically. He's no longer a kid. So I think if he does come back as Spider-Man, I don't know how many more movies he has with the contract, but if he does come back, we'll definitely see a different Tom Holland, Peter Parker, because that was a huge scene at the end that made me go, I understand. You've graduated from young adult to man, and I see where you're coming from. How did you feel about that scene?
I think it took a lot, because the two Spider-Mans didn't do that. They still went after the girl, like, even though they knew better.
Right.
So for him to do that and lose his best friend, because, like, that's the only family that he had left, is a lot. Like, he doesn't have Tony, he doesn't have his aunt. Those two were all he had, to then step away and have a chance. Like, he could have said it, but it's just like that strength that he had to do, even with all the emotions he had, and walk away is a lot.
Now, do you think he did the right thing or no? Because he did promise, hey, I'm going to get you to remember me.
I think he did the right thing, because at the time, it's not like he broke the promise. At the time, that's what he felt. Like, he didn't want to lose him, but he wasn't seeing the bigger picture. So it's not like he lied. Like, if his intentions was the whole time to lie to them so they wouldn't be scared, okay, I feel like it would be wrong. But when he made the promise before going through that, was real. Like, he didn't want to lose him at all, because, like, in a sense, it's selfish. So then once actually being there and no one remembers, like, it clicked for him. So I think it was still good, even though, like, they're not gonna really know that he broke a promise.
Yeah. Would you be mad about if
hell yeah.
Oh, you just said he just did the right thing.
That's Peter Parker, not you.
Oh man. Alright. That doesn't make sense. Alright.
Be mad as shit. Even that's fine.
All right, guys, thanks for listening. Truly appreciate it. We're about to go meet up with our friends to go grab some food. We are starving. So, guys, stay safe. I hope you guys had a great Christmas. Hope you guys were able to enjoy it. I love you guys. We out.